Hello, and welcome to Scientology, episode 93, recording on Thursday, December 17th, 2020. Not Sunday, not Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, but Thursday. Thursday. Yep. And you know what? It's a sunshiny day outside, it's cold, it's, I think, around 29 or 30 degrees. There's snow on the ground. It snowed last night. I was hoping to do this yesterday during the snowstorm, but that didn't work out. I was hoping to do it the day before that, but I was like, you know, there's going to be a snowstorm tomorrow. It might be nice to do it in the snow. Why is it late? It's a very good question. You might hear some sounds in the background. You might hear a small humming sound. That's my little space heater warming up my little tootsies down here underneath the desk and my house slippers. Like a real comfy boy. You might hear some shoveling outside. That's people doing an honest goddamn day's work. Clearing the sidewalk so people don't bitch about that or slip and fall. You know, it's your responsibility to shovel the snow on the sidewalk in front of your place. It's the law. I didn't know that. Just one of the many things that we'll give you a ticket for here in New York City. Anyhow, quit beating around the bush, Paul. Why is the podcast late? Well, that's a good question. Let's dive into that. Why is the podcast late? Well, I'm frazzled and all over the map. And so is everything. We're circling the drain at the end of this crazy goddamn year. Don't fucking blame the year. No, you know what? I can. Everybody else is passing around memes about, don't worry about your pants fitting tightly. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. You don't have to exercise. If you're sad every day, don't worry about that. You're allowed to be. Everybody's sad all the time. We're going through something very weird or whatever kind of little fucking masturbatory support structure you've got to put in place to make you feel like you don't need to be trying as hard as you can. What? Okay, so what are you doing? Are you judging or are you justifying? What angle are you going for here, Paul? Well, as it relates to other people, I guess I'm judging. As it relates to myself, I'm trying to justify. Which is pretty normal, I think, as far as people's behavior goes. But the podcast, that's the point. Why is that? Why is it late? Episode 93, I'm getting so close to 100, and it's still hard. Still hard to stay on track. And that just goes to show you. When I reached a year on my daily exercises, 365 days in a row of doing exercises every single day, I remember noticing to myself, and I think I had mentioned something about this, that the first day and the 365th day were just as big of a pain in the ass. There was no... You would think after a whole year of doing that every single day that I would just get up and do it and it would be part of my routine and I wouldn't try to fucking trick myself into putting it off or ignoring it or just not doing it altogether. But that's not the way things that are hard work. That's not the way that work works. You have to get that thing rolling every single fucking time. And it's strange how maybe, I think I heard somebody one time talk about how conditioned we are. Just from probably film and television and seeing montages of people getting work done or the way that editing works, you know, nobody shows the full time lapse, or not the full time lapse, but the full, like, real time work. We just see things happen and we think that they're supposed to be done. Excuse me. But we're not accustomed to the idea of living it the whole time, you know? And for that reason, it seems like people who achieve great things or achieve large goals, it seems impossible because we don't see the work put in, you know? And it also makes the smaller tasks that or the smaller objectives that we try to pursue or complete seem that much harder because once you really get into it, it takes such real effort and time. I don't know why I have such a pause. I'm going to pause 1 second to clear my throat so I don't just keep doing that in your ears. And we're instantaneously back. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, and I get that quite a bit when I'm doing my live streams on for my paintings, if I'm working on my paintings, particularly on Reddit, which is where I primarily do it, and people will come back that have maybe they saw the beginning of the painting and then they come back like 2 days later and they're like, "Wow, oh my God, you're still working on this painting?" It's like, yeah, of course. These things take a while. And it's very common for people to be like, "I could never do something like that." And it always kind of surprises me. It's like, well, it's weird to think that you couldn't do it. I mean, I can understand if you're not, you know, artistically inclined or whatever, that makes sense. I mean, I would feel the same way about somebody, you know, doing some large mathematical equation or writing a song or something that takes a long time, because those aren't things that I'm, you know, pursuing or good at or whatever. But if there's just something you're building, you know, you could even look at it like that. Like, say you're building a house by yourself. You know, if I came back 2 days later and you're still kind of like leveling the foundation of the house, and if I were to walk up and be like, "You're still building this house? Jesus, I could never do that." It's like, yeah, well, of course you can't, because you don't seem to know how house building works, and you also don't seem to know how effort and time works. So, with that perspective, no, you can't. But I think that we all have that in a different way about different things, you know? Because things just look easy to certain people. And especially in this like curated reality that we all perceive now, with the things that we see on social media and the things that we see just presented to us in different ways, packaged, edited, polished up, color corrected, sound engineered, photoshopped. Everything seems like it's just like, and it's born perfect. Here is a thing that just is shiny and ideal without any credit attached to it. You know? It always reminds me of being a young kid and watching some movie with my mom. I mentioned this on the podcast before, and watching a movie and mentioning to my mom how I hate the credits. I don't want to watch the credits. I just want to get to the movie, and her taking the time to be like, "You don't think that the people who made this deserve to be recognized for the work that they put in?" And it was a real kind of slap to my brain to recognize, like, yeah, that is shitty. Isn't it funny how you have those things, like you have those little revelations throughout your life? I remember I had another one when I was playing. I went through a small phase where I was like into playing paintball when I was like 17 or something, and I bought a paintball gun, and I, you know, I spent like $150 on it or something, and I thought it was really cool, but you know, when you get into that kind of thing, you sort of sign up accidentally for being like a non-lethal small arms engineer, where you have to always be tinkering with it and working on it. And I went out to some paintball course with my friends, and my gun blew an O-ring or something, or fucked up in some way that I didn't understand how to make it work, and I had to rent a gun. And so I rented one, and I was in some situation at the end of a little match where we were all shooting each other, And all of the paintballs that I was firing at a guy, for whatever, all like spun out sideways, and they kind of got all, like the way you would shank a golf ball, they just like spin in a different direction. And I was pointing the gun right at him, and I was unloading on this guy, and none of the paintballs were hitting him. They were all just spinning all in weird different directions. And then he shot me, and the match was over. And I threw a full-on little temper tantrum, just being like, "God damn this fucking piece of shit gun!" And one of the guys who worked at the paintball course, who knew that my gun blew an O-ring or whatever, or was fucked up, he had just mentioned off, real calmly in level tone of voice. He goes, "Well, at least it works. Your gun doesn't even work. At least this gun fires." And it made me stop. It made me just stop, and I was immediately very embarrassed. And I said, "You're 100% right. You're 100% right. And this is, I'm being a real child about it." And I sometimes wonder how many things in my life I haven't gotten the message about, I hope that I've been perceptive enough in my life to be open to those moments of clarity as often as I possibly could. Because when you catch those little things and they, your brain kind of grows the way the Grinch heart grows in that cartoon, just doubles over in size a couple of times, and you gain this insight about not only yourself, but about like the world in general and perception and entitlement and how you're just not really seeing things in a full form. When you have those moments, it always makes me wonder after the fact, what would my life look like had I not caught that? Would I just continue going on being an underdeveloped person, an un a lesser version of what I am now? Because there was, who was I listening to? I was listening to a podcast. I think Seinfeld was on Tim Ferriss's podcast the other day, which is it was a great episode of Tim Ferriss's podcast. If you don't listen to the Tim Ferriss show, I recommend it. He's got some great guests on there, and he's a good interviewer, even though he kind of reeks of a snake oil salesman to a certain degree to me, but that could just be me. Anyway, Seinfeld was on there, and they had a good conversation about Seinfeld's whole process, and you may or may not be a fan of Jerry Seinfeld. I respect the guy. I don't have a, he doesn't really make me laugh that much as a comedian, but I respect the shit out of what he's done with his career. And as a, in the world of comedians, he's, undeniable in his impact. But this was not really a thing that necessarily related to him being a comedian. It was just a piece of insight that he shared. And he said that, "Oh, now I've gone so far around in explaining the setup to this, I've kind of forgot what." Oh, he said that he has always viewed pain as knowledge flooding into a place where it wasn't before. And I think I'm kind of butchering that quote, but it made a lot of sense in the description of it. And the way he tried to expand on that was like, if you stub your toe on a table in the dark, that pain is knowledge flooding in where it wasn't before. It's like now you are very keenly aware of where that table is. And I think that's a really, it's a great way to look at taking your knocks. If you get hit and you have something that dawns upon you in a painful, embarrassing, or shocking way, I think that's the healthy way to view it. Because then you could do something with it, and you don't have to stay dumb. And we should all try to be doing our best to not stay dumb. Because to a certain degree, we're all dumb. In many different ways. And we should always be trying to not be. We should all be trying to not be stupid assholes. And as best we can. But I sure have gone a long way to get away from explaining why the podcast is so goddamn late. Okay, well, let's just talk about it. So, like I said, I'm frazzled. I'm all over the map. And, you know, I make excuses, which allow me to avoid by making my priorities in my mind for whatever reason. Like, let me explain. I'm going to, my brain's moving faster than my mouth. So I make excuses, which allow me to avoid by moving my priorities in my mind. If that makes sense. So for whatever reason, I have the podcast firmly filed into a partition in my mind, which is labeled selfish and indulgent. I don't know why. But because of that, because it feels like a form of like entertainment and leisure to me, I am able to put that, I'm able to put it behind other priorities that feel more related to being like a functioning adult in society. Which doesn't even hold up under the lightest of scrutiny. That, so that's that reason, and I wouldn't be fully honest with you, or with myself, if I didn't admit to the anxiety I feel about speaking to myself alone with zero, like, immediate feedback for an hour, or whatever. You know, I don't have constant confidence. I have waves of confidence. And in between the waves of confidence, the sirens of self-doubt and self-loathing are loudly and clearly heard in my mind. You know, I'm telling the same stories over and over again, or I'm talking about Donald Trump too much, or I've apologized for nothing a dozen times, or I didn't think of, you know, or did I even think of that joke? Or was that a joke I heard somebody else say? Was that an original thought? Did I give credit to the source? Why am I cursing so much? Will I ever have merchandise? Or am I just going to keep apologizing for not happening? Not having that, you know, or making that happen? Is anybody even listening to this? And that's the weird one. Oddly enough, that particular question, which on its surface is a doubt, or like a fear, it ends up bringing me back to a functioning mental state. It's like I'm hitting myself enough to finally grab my own wrist and punch myself in the face. And believe it or not, the way that I am harsh towards myself is designed to bring about that kind of reaction. It just takes longer than I'd like it to sometimes, you know? But who cares? I mean, that's it. That's the whole concept. Like, if nobody is even listening, then all those other issues fall apart. Then I start slapping back and moving forward, and I get it done. Even though, like today, it's late and somewhat thrown together, it's done. And it's done. And I get a lot of things done that way. I let the self-hatred wash over me and knock me back, and then I kind of like rage against it and knock it down and push beyond the place where I was. Then I exhaust myself, and the confidence recedes back, and I see the things that I did. But then I start judging them. And what fucks me up over and over is that I see my pattern, you know? And I don't know how to break it. Like, I try to get something done, but first, I have to fight and argue with myself. And I'm good at arguing with myself. I'm good at fighting myself. And all of the abuse that I can throw my way is very real. And then I get activated at a certain point and overcome that. And then I get some shit done. It's usually of good quality too. I'm not blind to my ability. I know that. I produce quality stuff. I'm good at a lot of things. The part that fucks me up is I know that if I didn't have to constantly, daily, and with no real end in sight, combat myself, always, that I could go twice, if not three times as fast and as far. And that's why I should probably do Adderall every day, I think. That's all I could figure. It's the only thing I could figure. Because my shit waxes and wanes so much that I feel like if I were to explain this to one of the apparently hundreds of thousands of doctors that everybody in my life and across the world seems to know who just prescribe Adderall willy-nilly, they would probably just tell me to take some speed and move along with my day, you know? But that, and I'll take a little piece of an Adderall every now and then if I gotta get a thing done. And you could feel that surge of energy and motivation and shit. But I'm always very, what do you call it? Skeptical or wary of using that shit because I should be able to do it myself. I don't know. I've been very frustrated with a few projects. Excuse me. The biggest of which is my gaming streaming PC, which I built, but I cannot seem to get Windows installed on. And I don't know what made me think I could do this. What made me think I should do this is a better thing. That's a better question. For whatever fucking reason, like, I could have just forked over, like, I don't know, $400 more dollars and just got a pre-made one of these fucking things, and it would be running. But there was something about the challenge of building a PC and getting it running from just parts that just, it attracted me in a certain way. It seemed like a dare that I was willing to go for. And now it feels like a trap. Because I got this thing, and it works. All the lights come on, the fans come on. I can get to the BIOS operating system, which is like just a pre operating system type thing. I can tamper with it, but I can't fucking get the goddamn thing running. And it feels like I wake up and this motherfucker's just laughing at me every day. It feels just like somebody who stole my money, who's standing in the corner of my room just laughing at me, telling me how dumb I am every single day. And I had my buddy in LA try to help walk me through like getting this shit all worked out. And we hit dead end after dead end. And the first dead end I thought that I could solve it with was, because when you build one of these things, you have to have a keyboard and a mouse, obviously, but we forget, because almost all of our keyboards and mice are Bluetooth now. They're like, you got to have one with a wire because this thing doesn't have any way to read it. So I got a wired mouse, and then I also I had a wired keyboard, but it was a Mac keyboard, and I didn't think that that would be a problem. But apparently, in the old school beef between Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, goes all the way back to just like this kind of shit. So when you're setting up the basics of a PC and you try to plug in a Mac keyboard, the buttons don't fucking read right. So I'll press one button and it'll show up a different letter or a number. And it's so bizarre to me how much of our world is fragmented and fractured because two goddamn nerds couldn't get along, you know? It's like we're all the children of these divorced nerds, and it's this stupid fucking back and forth, like, manipulation through us. You know, it's like I try to get to my C prompt on the Mac keyboard, but on the PC screen it'll be like, you know, Steve Jobs is a control freak alcoholic. It's like, I didn't type that, you fucking weirdo. So I tried to watch 100,000 YouTube videos and tutorials about this whole shit, and I just can't seem to fucking figure it out. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but I don't think the answer is watching more YouTube videos. If for nothing else, just to not have to stomach through the dumb music that everybody puts on YouTube video. Why does anybody on a YouTube tutorial video, first of all, why do they try to put music to it? And secondly, why do they choose the music they choose? You know, it's It's the strangest little, like, you would be embarrassed to put it in an elevator, you know? It's this real bizarre instrumental, like, who fucking... But it also, it's so bad, it almost wants to, you almost want to make, like, a playlist of it, you know? Like, YouTube video tutorial jams 2020. It's like, just to drive yourself totally insane. So that's one thing that I'm dealing with, is that goddamn computer. And, I'll figure it out. I'm just in a, I'm in a rut with it right now, and it's making me mad. But I am gonna figure it out, because I can't just, I don't know. I don't want to just turn around and sell the fucking parts of this thing to somebody else who'll just, you know, go in there and plug one thing into another thing and turn this son of a bitch on. Like, I'm sure somebody knows what they're doing. It can't be that goddamn hard. People are doing it all the time. It's just... My friend, who's much more savvy with this shit, who tried to help me walk through all this stuff, and we were going through the whole, like, what is it? I don't even know how to describe it, but, like, the C prompt shit that looks like old DOS stuff. He's like, everything's put together right. You just can't seem to get Windows installed because the partitions on your hard drive won't allow it to. Whatever the hell that means. So, I will return to Reddit and try to avoid looking at cat videos and car crashes long enough to ask somebody the right question to see if I can figure out how to work through this son of a bitch. But, in the meantime, how the hell are you guys doing? As I ask that 27 minutes into this fucking thing. How's everybody dealing with the approaching holiday, with Christmas looming, and all the weird stuff that we're dealing with right now? Boy, goddamn, it is so much strange shit. And it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. But it does seem like there might be some hope on the horizon. We've got a vaccine for the fucking coronavirus rolling out by two companies at least, Moderna and Pfizer. I know that's supposed to be a positive thing, you know, and I think the Moderna one isn't two shots. It's just one shot, last I heard, which will probably make it preferable to the other one. And Pfizer's gotta, I don't know, is it gonna be one or the other? Do you choose? I mean, I'm just listening to what they're saying on the news. But you got to know that Pfizer's probably pretty pumped to be rolling out the vaccine for the coronavirus, for COVID-19, you know? It's like, 'cause that's already a big company. And I have to assume that somewhere inside of, like, the corporate head of that place, they're going to be like, if we can get this vaccine out there to all those people and save the world, then we're not just the company that made boner pills anymore. We're the company that made boner pills on accident and then saved the world. So, we got to make this happen. Because that's what we want to be known for. Life-saving drugs first, and also boner pills. But they had to have made so much money on that. I don't even know if this... I don't know how the fuck that shit works. I don't know how any of that shit works. But it's getting down to the wire, and I think it's going to make people even more eager to not pay attention to the COVID restrictions, you know, less mask wearing, less safety, and things like that. But, I mean, maybe those fuckers will die off. I do know, though, that they're shutting everything down here in New York City and a lot of other places, too. And the nerve of these people to do that and to not turn around and be like, you can't go to work, but here's some money. Like, they're not even doing that with... They're not... How do you tell people they can't go to work and then not also say, but we're also going to help you out, guaranteed? Like, it's crazy to me that we're not burning shit down yet. Like, anywhere in Europe, talk as much shit as you want to about European people, but they don't let the government just push them around. They don't. And maybe they had to go through a bunch of wars and centuries of that type of shit and kill some monarchs and fucking have enough revolutions to get to the point where they're just like, you know, the government needs to be afraid of us and not the other way around. Because we are so fucking fractured and divided. I gotta clear my throat again. Jesus Christ. And we're back. Okay, what the hell was I talking about? Oh yeah, just talking about how we're... shutting things down with no financial relief is totally insanity. It's total insanity. Like, look no... And as far as I'm concerned, you can look no further for conspiracy efforts by corporations than this. You know? It's like, we are so incredibly divided and distracted by these social justice issues that we allow this nonsense to happen. And I really believe that's what the fucking shit's about. You know, bars and restaurants that have been open for years are going out of business with no help. And then they try to protest and fight back. Like, this, there's this dipshit in Staten Island who was going about this whole thing in a very, you know, seemingly aggressive and rude way. Or whatever, rude, I don't know, improper. What are you supposed to do when they're telling you you can't do business? And anyway, but he's out in Staten Island and all these people tried to support the bar and his efforts to keep it open. And they tried to protest and fight back or whatever. And what questions do we ask? Where is that? Staten Island? Oh, a bunch of Trump people. Fuck those racists. It's like, okay, I think you're kind of missing the point here. Like, because people getting evicted from their apartments because their unemployment or pandemic relief ran out is coming next. You know, that's all over the place. And where is that? Oh, so where is that? Where are those people getting evicted? Where was it on the news? Oh, Portland? Oh, boo-hoo. Maybe you shouldn't have called for to defund the police. Maybe that's why they're coming to fucking evict you, because you didn't pay your bills, right? Maybe see if Antifa will help you or whatever the fuck. Again, this is not the point. This is all distractions. All these things, this fucking your team and my team, those are all distractions from the idea that we're in it together and we need to be trying to fucking work together to take care of each other. Because meanwhile, Chase Bank hangs up a fucking rainbow pride flag in Manhattan, or Bank of America just shows their logo, which agrees with your politics, even though that's an Italian company from way back. But they got an American flag, and we just ignore how none of them have gone out of business during this entire thing. None. How many banks have gone out of business? How many banks are even afraid of going out of business during all this? The answer is zero. Me and the fucking, the tent cities grow, you know, under overpasses all over the fucking country. And never do you even think about the concept of Wells Fargo, Chase Bank, Citibank, fucking Bank of America? You don't even think about the idea that those guys are going to be even remotely worried. It's very, very bizarre, this whole fucking thing. And it's and it all comes down to just like the things that we're concerned about, which are low-hanging fruit. And I point to a lot of these social issues as that, because they're less complicated. They're less complicated to say, oh, okay, racism, sexism, transphobia, xenophobia, misogyny, these things, all these big words that seem to be like moral value judgments on everybody. And I guess that's the idea that they are. And we like to think that if we solve these problems, that will somehow solve the rest of the problems. If we make everything equal, then we won't even have these political arguments anymore. It's like ignoring the fact that it is not possible to solve a lot of these problems that have existed from before we even understood what the fuck we were doing on this planet. It's like, this is a weird way to get about what I'm trying to say. But okay, so just look at this. I hope this connects. So they're taking Chappelle's show off of HBO. They already took it off of Netflix. And the reason for this is because Dave Chappelle asked them to. Because he got screwed by Comedy Central in a contract situation when he had his show on, and he did a whole thing on his Instagram where he released, like, you know, I think it was like a 15-minute statement that he said during one of his stand-up shows, and it was a good position. You know, he made his case that they were trying to bully him, trying to strong arm him, and he fought back publicly and caused enough of a public uproar that they backed down and they didn't want to, you know, it's because HBO and Netflix didn't want to look bad in public. And this is seemingly good. I view it as a positive thing. Although it is interesting and somewhat ironic to me that Chappelle has, in the not-so-recent past, criticized certain aspects of cancel culture, quote-unquote, which I don't even think cancel culture is a great name for this phenomenon, because it's too vague. He is using the same tactic, though, to enact his form of justice. That's my point. That justice is a kind of vigilante-style justice, which in a way is what is sweeping the world and our culture. This, again, quote-unquote cancel culture, is only like a slim and sort of negatively biased way of viewing whatever this is. This is a rebellion, and this is where it comes back to what I'm talking about. So this is a rebellion against a corruption of intuitive justice by legal means, if that makes any sense. Like, the deeper struggle, the human, like, tug of war in this is belief versus reason. And that's a very old struggle, going back to, like, the Enlightenment. Like, we don't know how to actually walk the ethical line of right and wrong, and we never really have. And so we constantly try to figure out the right way to deal with the idea of right and wrong, and what is right and wrong, right? So, and kind of the, sort of, to clarify what I'm talking about. So I agree with what happened with Dave Chappelle's thing. I think it's good that HBO took that down and that Netflix took that down, because he did get fucked in that contract. However, when it really does break down to like a legal level, he was in breach of contract, right? And if me or you were in his shoes, we would just be continuing to get fucked on that. They wouldn't have taken it down. You know, if it was some extra or a smaller part player on the Chappelle show, like, say you're one of the people, like the dude who was in the Real World sketch, the guy who I should fucking know his name. I know him. His wife owns a comedy club here in Astoria, Queens. But like that dude, Christian Finnegan. Okay, that's his name. Christian Finnegan. He was the guy Chad in the Real World sketch. Like the white dude in the black Real World house, right? So that dude, he's a comedian, a pretty accomplished comedian. If he got screwed on that situation, right? And maybe he did. Maybe he did financially get screwed in that situation. And they put it on Netflix and they put it on HBO. And he tried to say, hey, I never got paid because I walked out of the... I broke kind of my end of the contract deal. But it's still fucked up that they're putting me on HBO and Netflix. That would still be on there. There would be no thing about it. But because Dave Chappelle is the titular person, he owned the show, he created the show, and he's also arguably the most famous comedian in the world right now, they took it down, right? He got that done because of his clout. But if he were less influential, it wouldn't have made any difference. So that's the point that I'm trying to make. It's like he was able to get it done because his voice speaks as loud as hundreds of thousands of women saying that a producer or people in Hollywood are constantly sexually assaulting them. Or, you know, thousands and thousands of people on Twitter defending trans rights or defending you know, gay or whatever it is. Like, my point is, it's this thing that's bubbling up. It's not right or wrong. It's us contending with right and wrong and not trusting the system to do the right thing, because as the system has grown, it has become corrupt and calcified, and it only looks at things in this mathematical way that doesn't account for belief. It doesn't account for what we intuitively know is right and wrong. It just, it's all paperwork now. And I think that that's where we're at in a place culturally and as a society, is that we're looking at so many of these things that are just kind of like rusted over gears, or things that have just been done for as long as they've been done, so why change them? And we're starting to run into a lot of things that are just like, no, we don't like that, you know? And that's wrong. Why would we keep it that way? Like, being canceled is also a reference to how much we think we are the star of our own TV show. You know, that's another thing. It's a projection, accidentally or deliberately, of our collective view of life and ourselves in it. Also, being pushed out or shunned for your behavior is nothing new. That's a whole nother level. Like, giving the mob this kind of power and fearing to speak up against them isn't either. That's nothing new either. We've been here. The thing is, we outgrew that, and then we got lazy, and we depended on the system to do the right thing, and then because we assumed the system didn't need to be tweaked or adjusted, it got corrupt. And so this is us just needing to step up to the plate and do the goddamn job, the same way that I needed to fucking do this podcast 4 days ago, but I didn't. And because I didn't, now it went too far, and I'm going to have to do another one in like 3 days, and I've got no one to blame but me. And the same way that we've got nobody to blame for the situations that we're in, other than ourselves, for not getting together and fixing them. And it's the same fucking thing. It's just not being prepped. It's not being prepared. We don't have an attitude of taking care of the problem when it happens. We have an attitude of waiting for it to happen and then dealing with it. And that's not healthy. And it's never been. And that's one of those fucking things that we were supposed to understand. And that's one of the things that we're supposed to have learned before we grew up. But the people that raised us didn't know either. And so now, what do we got to do? We got to get up and do some fucking push-ups and do some stretches and get after it and take care of the things that we got to take care of. And maybe it takes doing a little bit of Adderall. I don't know. It's a useful drug. I am so fucking sick of all this shit, and I'm really sorry to just bitch about it and not have great answers, you know? But I don't think you come to me for answers. I think if you do come to me at all, you come to hear me struggle with similar problems that you do. And I am certainly struggling with my own. They are worse than some and better than others. And I guess it all just comes down to it like that. I know what I'm fucking... I'm very angry with Facebook right now, like a lot of people are. Or not only Facebook, but social media and shit. But particularly Facebook. I'm annoyed with Facebook for a lot of things. From way back, I'm annoyed with them for just shamelessly and unapologetically spying via their Messenger app. I think that that's gross. And I don't know why some people treat the Messenger app on Facebook as though it's equal to texting me. And it's not. That always weirds me out when people are just like, let's just use Facebook Messenger. It's like, why would we do that? I've never liked that. And I'll tell you the thing that's bothering me right now is their little care button. The idea that I have to like... It used to just be like, right? And then that obviously wasn't going to last. And so then they gave you all these different options. To like love something. To be wowed by a thing. To be sad. And then to be furious, which is strange. And then there's a heart. But no, like, thumbs down button. I don't know why they avoided the concept of just being like, I got a like button, why can't I have a dislike button? It was real simple, but instead, they decided to give you way more options to super complicate things, right? So instead of being able to just press a thumbs down button, I have to do an angry face, right? So instead of a calm, I don't like that, I have to do, that makes me mad. So not only am I furious when I may just not agree, I'm oddly pressured into saying I care about things in this, like, for people's legitimate problems. If somebody, like, posts that their, you know, their mom passed away or my kid has some kind of a rare blood disorder, you can't, like, I used to put the little heart thing, just showing that I was like, well, my heart kind of goes out to you, but now I'm feeling more and more pressured to press the I care button, which seems so disingenuous. Or I could say nothing, which is probably the smartest decision. Or I could spend an hour spelling out exactly how I feel and how my heart goes out to him and how I wish there was more that I could do. But then you run the risk of people scanning everything that you just said for, like, microaggressions or weird fucking intolerant phrasing or something like that. You know, it's like, try to find the offense in the shit. It's so strange. It's also an example of how things get complicated when you try to kind of game the system of human relationships, right? Especially like courtship. Facebook, to me, feels that way. You know, because it kind of started, if you go back to the beginning of the thing, like that, the movie about it, the Social Network thing, it was kind of a weird way of being like, I wonder if that girl's single. At least that's how they phrased it, right? And wondering if this girl was single, it's like, well, I wonder if she's single. How could I figure that out? Well, I could steal a social network concept from these two rich twins who are on the rowing team, and then I could build an online behemoth that will run out of control wildly, make me billions of dollars, but also ignite the gas emitting from the fragmented social discord stretching back to the foundations of our country, and then also at the same time give unlimited spying capabilities to the governments of the world and sort of send things careening out of control to the degree that Donald Trump will somehow become the president in some weird way as a result of this, and this gives our foreign enemies access to all of our information. And I could do that, and then I could figure out if that girl's single or not. It's like, yeah. Or you could just go talk to her. You know? And maybe if Mark Zuckerberg had just gone up and talked to that girl instead of doing all that shit, he would have been rejected and then gone to the gym or gotten whatever kind of strange mental problems he's got under control. And he'd just be Mark working at Geek Squad in Best Buy. And I'd come in there with my fucking gaming PC and be like, Mark, will you help me figure out how to get Windows uploaded onto this son of a bitch? And he'll be like, I can do that. And he'd charge me a little too much money, and he'd smile inappropriately at some strange thing, and I'd be like, dude, do you blink? What's your story, man? And he'd be like, well, I've never touched a breast before. And I'd be like, Mark, let me tell you what. You help me fix this computer, and I will help you talk to girls. And then we're off on a buddy comedy film like likes of which you haven't seen since 1986. Me and Marky Zuckerberg running around the city streets of New York in the snow. And I'd help him. I'd help get the guy laid, and he'd help me get this computer running. And then all would be right with the world. Well, I think that's a fine little what if happy ending to this episode of Scientology. Again, apologies for it being late, but there's a lot of things going on. And I will continue to update you guys about the progress of my frustrations and all that shit. And thank you guys for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, I hope this helped you pass a little time and maybe got a laugh or two out of it. I know there was a lot of rambling nonsense, but that's not so different from every fucking episode of this show. So this is episode 93. By episode 100, there is going to be different things going on here. I'm going to have, like I said, I'm going to do a video aspect to this. I'm going to figure out a way to do this with a camera pointed on me and either streaming or uploaded to iTunes, or not iTunes, to YouTube. I'm going to upgrade, and I've got 7 weeks to do it. I can figure it out. There's going to be segments, there's going to be new fun things, there's going to be a lot of different things. There's going to be merchandise for you to be able to purchase to support this show. And again, will be given to the members of the Scientology Patreon squad out there. My Scientologists, my operating Scientologists out there. You guys are going to get all that swag as part of your donations and a show of my appreciation for your help, because you will have paid for a lot of the things that will enable this to become a better show. If you want to be a part of that group, a part of my my Scientologist team and supporters and faithful, then just go to pauloto.com, scroll down on the page, and there will be a button to the Patreon link where you can support the show there if you would like. And if you don't want to do that and you don't have the money to spare, I totally understand, and you just want to support the show without having to drop any coin, you can always rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And please write something positive. I'd always mean so much for me to read those things. I really love it, and it helps encourage me to do more and makes me feel like you guys are actually out there. Or just tell your friends about the show. Spread the word on social media. Talk about it on your podcast or whatever. Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to give a shout out to two of my favorite podcasts right now. Be sure to check out Vag with Sarah Talamash and Adrian Ipolucci. Excellent one. Check out Rock the Cash Bar with my friends Diane Gallagher and Ben Mowbray. That's a fun music podcast where they dissect songs and just have a good time. They're funny people, great people. Have fun guests on there. And there was another one that I wanted to listen. Mental Metal Jacket. Am I saying that right? Joe List. It's one of his. He's got a few podcasts, and I was on one episode of them that I did as a. I forget what number it was. I'm not prepared for this. I have no business running a podcast. Anyway, guys, that's the episode for this week on this snowy Thursday. I'm going to get to work. I got to stretch a canvas and start painting a gigantic peacock. And I got to do some exercises before that. And laundry, too. Day must continue to keep moving. Let's all just try to not be stupid assholes. Let's try to not make things worse. And remember that we're fucking in this together, regardless of our petty bickering. Things are going to be okay. Hope is on the horizon. This is Paul Odo for Scientology episode 93. Reminding you to do not. Nope. Reminding you that I'm here, alright? And you guys are too. And every day above ground is a good one. So do not be afraid. And I will talk to you guys soon. All the best. And happy holidays if you don't celebrate Christmas, and Merry Christmas if you do. I think I'll talk to you before Christmas, but we will cross that bridge when we come to it. Okay, I am just talking to hear myself talk now. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.